I want to share with you this evening a little message. We at this particular time of the year, I think all of us, all families, we all have our own little traditions, and we have different things as we do as families, and this candlelight service is really good. It probably won't be dark when we go outside, but the symbolism is the same whether it's dark out there or not, that the light of Christ broke through the darkness of the world, a lost and dying world, and when he entered in to this world, he brought light. I want to share that whole scripture. I read the scripture there for the lighting of the Advent candle, but I want to share in the context of that scripture in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Christ was with the right hand of the Father from the time they created the heavens and the earth. That's what that means. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him, life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you ever walk into a dark room, and even if you strike a match, a itty-bitty little light, it dispels the darkness. That's what God did for us by sending Christ into the world. It dispelled the darkness because the darkness could not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, him being Christ. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Even in our day and time today, where we have so much understanding about Christ and about the theological things and so forth, people still don't recognize him and who he was and who he is and who he shall be when he returns. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. You see, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Well, we have seen his glory, and the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and of truth. In the four Gospels, there's accounts of Jesus' life. John was only one of the disciples, and he notes the supreme irony. The Creator visited his creation, and his creation did not recognize him. More than that, God's chosen people did not recognize their Messiah. And those were the Jewish folks. Now, they aren't chosen people because they're something special. They were chosen by God to spread the gospel at the time before Christ came into the world. And they failed miserably. They even killed the prophets that was trying to tell them, your Messiah is to come. He came, that which was his own, Israel, but they didn't receive him either. It would seem then that Jesus' visit to our planet was not a success, but many did believe. And John emphasizes that point. To all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. December the 25th is a day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And it's interesting to know that very rare does the whole world stop on December the 25th. Some stop to worship because they believe. Some just stop because the rest of the world is stopping. The markets are closed. The people around the world are celebrating in their own languages, in their own ways. In Bethlehem tonight, the Pope gives a blessing in a Mass. We figure the name of Christ. What does Christmas mean? It means that we worship the Christ. So when you hear people celebrating Mass, that's what they're doing. They're celebrating the Mass for Christ. They're worshiping Christ. Oh, that little town of Bethlehem. There's a church over there called the Church of the Nativity. And I always get the names mixed up. Constantine was the emperor of Rome. Right? Wasn't it Constantine? Yeah, that's the guy. Well, in the 3rd century, his mother came to Israel. She was a believer long before he was a believer. And she wanted to keep some of these places sacred. So she built churches over a lot of these places. And she built one in Bethlehem called the Church of the Nativity. And it covers over a place where Jesus was born, the traditional spot. Excuse me, he was born in a cave. And if you go into this church, when you enter into the church, you have to go through a little door. And it's only about that wide, it's only about this tall. That's the only door into the church. And when you go in, you have to bow low. Humbly entering into that church, that you're humbly entering into the presence of Christ. Now, we don't know why they made that church that way, why they made that door so little. Some people would say, oh, well, it was just to keep the animals out. But some animals could have got in there. But really, the significance was to bow wholly into the presence of God. It's an interesting time in this world that we're celebrating. Turmoil, all kinds of crazy things. But we hang on to the blessed hope. Because Jesus said, when he goes, he will return. So Advent, in the seasons that we celebrate leading up to this particular time, leaves us in a state of Advent constantly. Because the constant Advent was that we're expecting his return. When? We don't know. But he said he would come back. He said to the disciples when they asked him, when are you coming back, Lord? He said, I don't know, but you will know the seasons. And he gives us a whole litany and stuff in Matthew and in Mark to pay attention to. Because he said, only his daddy in heaven knows when he's going to return. He don't. So we don't set times or dates, but we do hang on to the blessed hope of his return. Because it's the only time as peace is going to come to this world is when the Prince of Peace returns. Any of you have a tradition when you send out Christmas cards that you sit down and you write a letter of your whole year and you put it in the Christmas card and what you've done and where you've been and all your travels? Anybody do that? Huh? We got some friends that do that. Judy did it a long time for years and years and years. And we would that way we could stay in contact with different people in the different churches we served. But as time grew on, we no longer do it, so to speak. But we still get them from friends and families. My cousin in Frisco, Texas, just sent us one that tells the whole story of what happened to them in their year and the good things, the bad things. Her daughter was ordained deacon in the United Methodist Church this past year. She was excited about that. Her dad, my uncle, was an EUB pastor, that Evangelical United Brethren, which joined with the Methodist Church in 1968 to become the United Methodist Church. So it was a thrill and an honor for me to kind of follow in his footsteps to do this, becoming a pastor. But it's really a joy to have his granddaughter, which he's looking down from heaven, to know that she's actively serving in the Methodist Church in Texas. Anyhow, I said all that to say this. A lot of our friends, they'll write a long, long letter about different things, talking about their wives and their families, and they review the events in the year, dreaming about the future. They also write each of their brothers and sisters and their families and friends words of love that makes an unforgettable Christmas card when you get it. A lot of times people, rather than type it out, will still do that old handwriting things called, what was that called? Not script, but cursive, writing in cursive. You ever get a personal note for somebody that you really love and it's handwritten? It makes a little bit more of an impact of their love for you rather than just getting something typed out. Well, we could say that about the original Christmas love letter. This is the original Christmas love letter. The book of Revelation is also a love letter. People need to understand and study the book of Revelation because Jesus was telling a lot about history in the future. Not a scary book, but a wonderful book. Only book that gives you a blessing for the reading, the hearing, and the understanding, both at the beginning and at the end. That's the true love letter. God sent his love letter into the world when Jesus was made flesh. And John highlights that truth in his gospel. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I had a radio ministry for quite a few years, and my little radio ministry was 5 minutes long, and it was a daily devotional type of ministry. And I was always wondering what I could call the program. You got to have a name for your program if you're going to be on the air. And one of the things that I used for a theme song, my granddaughter used to sing a song that said, Jesus is your ticket to heaven. Call on him now for your reservation. So I used the musical part of that song and used it for an introduction into my program. And the name of my program was The Word is the Way to Life. The Word is Christ. He gives you everything that you know in order to have life and have it more abundantly. But in ancient philosophy, the Greek word was logos, which suggested a divine mind or order that unites in reality. The word was logos. But John went on to expand that definition to reveal the word person, the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was with God in the beginning. The Word, the Father, the one and only Son became flesh and dwelt among us. Though Jesus, the Word, revealed himself perfectly to us, we didn't recognize it. And a lot of people still don't recognize it. And we go about our way. But if you want true peace in your life, I mean true peace, if you open your heart, it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that he stands at the door of our heart. If we'll only open up, he will come in. Now, theologians have grappled with this beautiful mystery for centuries. However, we may not understand it, but we can be certain that Jesus was the Word that gives life and light to our dark world. If we believe in him, we can experience that gift of being God's beloved child. God's love letter to us has come and made his home among us. Now that's an amazing, amazing Christmas gift. That gift that you all received by inviting Christ into your heart is a gift that you can give away to family and friends. Plant seeds. You don't have to coerce them. My father-in-law used to tell me, convince a person against their will and they'll be of the same opinion still. You don't have to convert. Oh, you gotta come to the altar. We're going to play this song 50 times. No, you just express the love of God in your own life. And a lot of times people say, well, you have as many trials and tribulations as I do. How come you handle them so wonderfully? It is because the peace that passes all understanding. And you can just give them that little seed and plant it in your life. So our prayer tonight is this. Lord Jesus, you are the Word of God. And you bring light into our lives. And we pray that our lives may shine forth with your goodness and your grace that will bring you honor. In Jesus' precious name.